Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very important conversation that we've often focused on has definitely been South Africa's international reputation. And through that, we're well aware that the Financial Action Task Force, you would recall, just over 2 years ago, had placed South Africa on the grey list. Why? Because we had found to be, I guess, weak in terms of our controls when it comes to managing any illicit financial flows and the adequate reporting on them. That in itself was also exposed previously from the state capture reports. Progress has been made, and from what we've had in previous conversations, we are looking to make sure that we do get off that FATF grey list by October this year. But some aspects still need to be implemented successfully to make sure that we get them right. To tell us more, we join on the line now by Christopher Malan, who is Executive Manager for Compliance and Prevention at the Financial Intelligence Center. Such a pleasure to have you with us this evening, Sam. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's really a pleasure to speak to you and your listeners. So let's be very clear here. Our message was a very targeted message. Mm-hmm. We deal with supervision. And as you know, grey listing is quite an expansive area covering a whole series of elements. And on our issue, we already obtained what is termed largely addressed in September. However, we need to sustain that. You know, we can't just sit and say, oh, it's now done. We need to ensure that we continue the trend.
Yes.
The trend is upward. And we were concerned that even though we managed to persuade the FATF that we have the robust systems in place, which our media really speaks about, mm-hmm. we had to put in place certain risk assessment tools. The tools are only as good as the information.
Yes.
And the problem was we were getting no input data. Oh. So you can't run a risk engine, and make credible decisions if your population of submissions is very low. And that is why we decided to come out again to say, let us not be complacent. Let's get back that urgency. We are only 7 out of 10. If we just simplify it, we are on average 7 out of 10 in each sector has reported mm-hmm. their risk status to us. We want to get it to 9 out of 10 and perfect world 10 out of 10. But you know, we understand the market is quite big. We deal with lawyers, 16,000 to 17,000, estate agents 9,000.
Yes.
And to get 100% out of them is quite some ask. But we add 7 out of 10 of them. And you just want to increase and tell them, guys, please, we still need your input. We still need your urgency. And if you have not yet filed the necessary important document, which is called the risk and compliance return, please do so urgently with us.
Got
as
you.
The FIC.
Mr. Malan, I appreciate that you've given us some context there that, yes, we might be passing the exam, but what we want is an exemption completely and to really pass.
Well, it's not actually that, you see, because the supervisory world works a bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, because you get judged. You get judged on a metric that says, okay, 7 out of 10 is not good enough because it means that 3 out of 10 or 30% is not doing anything.
Mm.
And that's, you know, it's an inverse factor. So yes, we do tend to work on close to 100%. If I just put it into context, we've got 38 casinos in South Africa.
Yes.
All 38 have complied. We've got close on to 650 trust services providers. Close on to 92 of them have complied. But you see, the smaller the population, the higher the chances are that they're going to comply. The moment the numbers get bigger and bigger and bigger, when we're talking thousands, it becomes challenging. So yes, 70%, we're quite happy with it.
Mm.
But, you know, we want to really say that the 30% that have not yet done so, South Africa needs you to do this.
100%.
And we would like you to do it.
100%. I'm keen for us to get into the detail, right, so that even the layman, all of us can fully understand this. We've seen the banks implement certain policies, whether it's deposits that go into bank accounts outside of our borders, but within the region. There's a heightened level of disclosure that's required. The CIPC, beneficial ownership disclosure, so that we actually know at the end of the day, behind this company, whoo, is the person that is actually going to benefit from these rewards? Maybe give us some context as to how perhaps the banking or financial sector has made progress, and then that can lead us into these alternative sectors, estate agents and lawyers, who have, as you said, do need to enhance the level of data and information that needs to be disclosed.
Okay, so going to just to be basics, every entity that is part of our regime mm-hmm. needs to comply with the Act. Now, obviously, the bigger you are and the more robust you are, more financially endowed you are, banks, lots of money, they can afford to have the necessary people to do this. If you then compare that to the mom and pop, which we say, the young lady that has sole breadwinner, she's trying to sell houses. You know, the ficker really drops down on the importance list. You know, the thing is, make the deal, get the commission, put food on the table, have a happy life. You know, so we are very aware of those dynamics. So yes, you tend to find that the corporates, the larger institutions, are able to finance this because it do come with a cost, and are able then to comply better. When you then move from a compliance perspective to the single lawyer, the single estate agent, and you know, you're the sole breadwinner, you know, it becomes quite a trade-off how you get business and do business, but you try and do business in a way that you're not abused. And the fundamental principle of the FIC Act is that it's essentially to protect the people that are servicing the public, because they are being abused. They are being abused by the money launder or the terror financer. And the regime is compliance intensive, but it's there to enable you to detect who is perhaps abusing your service, and in doing so, perhaps doing criminal activity, but it's there to protect you so you know exactly who you're doing business with.
Yes.
And you are so correct. When it comes to corporates, knowing who's actually behind the corporate, and when you get into the very difficult area of tendering and contracts, government contracts and the like, we need to know who is actually behind those corporates when they do business with the state and when they just do business generally.
100%. As you're mentioning, I guess this is a gentle reminder to us as well as South Africans. Next time we ask for FICA documentation, the certified copy of your ID, the proof of residence and so much more, we should comply openly because it's also for our benefit.
Yes, absolutely. You see, we miss that. And we miss the fact that this legislation is there to protect you. So if you have a good understanding of what is required and you do the necessary, you'll be so attuned that you will know that, hey, this guy's taking, you know, this is something fishy there. Mm-hmm. And the Act then tells you that if you are suspicious, and it's any business in South Africa really is subject to the FIC Act, and many people don't know that. Every business in South Africa that comes across a financial transaction that to them just doesn't sound right, the Act says, please file that suspicion with the FIC. You know, at the end of the day, this is a big moral story behind it. You know, we all want a better society, a crime-free society.
Yes.
And here's your opportunity to do your bit, and to ensure, firstly, you're not abused, and then to report that there is some questionable activity, to enable us in law enforcement to put together the picture. Because if everyone tells us that Mr. X is doing the same thing, we develop a profile, and that profile then gets managed into an intelligence product, which we send to the Hawks, we send to the NPA, we send to SARS to say, hey, have a look at this. You know, so you're part of the solution.
Exactly.
In a roundabout way.
Exactly. I'm glad you highlight that, because sometimes it's often met with fear that, ooh, what are they doing with my detail? Ooh, I need to pay more tax. But the truth is, the whole system does work for everybody's benefit, and including the reputation of the country going forward as well overall. I'm keen for us to go back to the theme, as you've mentioned, Mr. Milan, specifically the estate agents, the lawyers, the mom and pop shops, the entrepreneurs who are on the move and dealing with so many consequences and ultimately want to put bread on the table. Is the industry looking at providing incentives for them to enhance levels of compliance? Or I guess, what tools are we using in order to encourage an increase in the release of this data and information?
So we have as our one of our themes of how we operate, we form and seek to form very strong working relationships with the industry bodies, particularly those that license, say, if it's lawyers, the legal practice council, or the property regulator. We have an ongoing and regular meetings with them. We share material, we share registration information, and we participate in their outreach to their audience. From the FIC perspective, we go a bit further. We don't just throw you out there and say you have to complete this form. Uh-huh. We have webinars. We educate you. We invite as many people as want to attend and have the time to attend. And then we point you to the documents that you need to complete. And we say, yes, it is a long form. It's quite complex. It's like your tax return. But we give you the questionnaire up front. We tell you, here's the questionnaire. Go in your own time, complete the answers, collect all the information like you do when you file tax. You'd collect your documents, collect your information. You collect less these days because it's all pre-populated, but you still have to have certain information. Once that is done, you sit down and complete the form, you know, and that's all that we are requiring. However, there is a tendency that some firms take an attitude that, you know, it's just red tape. I'll only attend to it if they knock on my door. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's those that we are appealing to, you know, be part of the solution. We need to show that as a community, we are in this together to pass information on to us so that we can fight crime. The FIC's core mission is to gather information from businesses and professions. Yes. And in our realm, we target specifically non-financial. So it's not the banks, it's not the asset managers. Yes. It's the lawyers, estate agents, and the like. We become the medium through which you report your information to us. We then, prepare the necessary, and we then engage with law enforcement to say, there is an issue. And we also get requests from law enforcement to say, please look at this issue. Then we go into our database based on the information of what's been happening. And if it's a property-related matter, we pull it all together. And that's how we work with your information to make South Africa a better place and crime-free.
As you say on your website, making South Africa's financial system intolerant to abuse.
Yes.
Which is what we're looking for. Mr. Malan, we'll leave it there for tonight, but such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. And we're looking forward to seeing
how please have me develop. Back on your show.
Definitely. In person next time. Thank you so much, Mr. Malan.
Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Christopher Malan, Executive Manager for Compliance and Prevention at the Financial Intelligence Center. Essentially, it's a body and an institution that does heighten the level of disclosure and compliance for a variety of non-financial businesses, as he's mentioned, within the legal sector and even the property practitioner space. And that's largely to make sure that these themes that we hear of illicit financial flows, money laundering, people hiding behind businesses, associates, and transactions that are questionable. You might recall we spoke about this last night when it comes to people hiding behind luxury goods in order to help with money laundering. These are the themes that it actually speaks to. So yes, for you and I, perhaps when you're purchasing a property, when you're opening up a bank account, when you're registering a business, when you're filing your annual returns and you're asked to actually complete your FICA documentation, proof of residence, your maybe sometimes banking statements or financial statements, and of course that certified copy of your ID. That's actually where this information does go to make sure that you are who you say you are. The assets you have are indeed yours. And yes, you can have as many as you like, but let's just make sure that the funding for this is legal, is rightful, and of course is heightened in terms of good governance. This is how the FIC is essentially looking to combat money laundering, terrorist financing, and the financing of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, all in a matter to make South Africa's financial system intolerant to abuse, as you've heard. So let us know your thoughts. Yeah, I'm so tempted to ask all of us who say, I need to go satisfy my ID copy. This is what it's for, but certify. Yes, that's the theme we're looking for.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.